cliffcentral.com. Biggie Smalls on your Friday. That's nice, huh?
More money, more problems.
Yeah. How old was he when he died? I mean, he wasn't very old at all, was he?
No, let's Google that.
So, yeah. As the show's analyst and statistician, how old was Biggie when he took the bullet?
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He died in 1997.
Oh, he was 24. He was a child.
He wow. really was young. I suppose when you're that big, you kind of look older.
Oh, my word.
So, Michael, would you say Biggie is better than Kanye?
110% better.
That much better, huh?
Biggie was the start of rap, I guess you could say.
Oh, that's a big thing.
He could drop a beat at any second and it would rhyme and it would have passion, it would have a story.
So fair to say then that basically rap music died with him?
Well, no, it died... it died with him because Tupac died before Biggie, right?
But
Tupac died in 96, he was 25, and then Biggie died in 97. So yeah, it died with Biggie.
That actually just... Wow. Mm-hmm. They were that young.
Oh yeah, they were babies.
But I'm also thinking about James Dean, I think also died at 24. Like, these people have really accomplished a lot at a young age. I need to step things up.
Well, yeah, see, because yes, if you yeah, die you at do. 24, you're going to go,
Let's see.
You're going to go, that guy.
That guy.
We won't even remember your name or what you did. Oh, that guy.
But they did stuff a lot of us would be scared to do.
Yeah, like I guess it's like the certain lives you lead. I mean, Kurt Cobain as well. He died so young.
Was that the 27 or the 28 club?
Is it like
27? Amy Winehouse, 27.
Yeah, but she just didn't want to live. I mean, that woman was just the poster child for bad decisions.
Heath Ledger, wasn't he also? Oh, I think he might have been. Ledger,
yeah, that's what happens when you do drugs with the Olsen sisters.
Okay.
That's not a good life choice either. See. Life choices.
Miley Cyrus is doing quite well.
Well,
back on living.
Let's not bet on that.
That's because she's got a role model.
Alive.
She's got a role model dad who used to have a mullet. I wonder what Billy Ray Cyrus actually does nowadays.
I have no idea. But I mean, doesn't he have so much money that he doesn't really need to worry about doing anything?
The royalties on that shit song. Let me try to find a few. That
Achy Breaky Heart.
Remember how terrible that song was?
Breaky Heart.
But there was a stage where the world took it seriously.
Yeah.
And the show, Best of Both Worlds, I'm pretty sure it's still playing somewhere.
We got the best of both worlds. Thank you. We're the Hannah Montana generation.
And did you also know the Achy Breaky Heart steps? I mean, they're very basic.
That's too much.
No ways.
There was a dance.
Wow. Okay, I don't feel so bad about having no childhood then. There was actually a dance to go with this crap song.
Yes.
But was this like when everyone started in like...
Oh,
that hair. There's some hot women in this audience. Yes, they're doing the dance. They're doing the dance. He was like the working class cowboy, right? Because he just wore jeans and like sneakers.
And I think back in that day, he was kind of a sex symbol. I think a lot of girls wanted to jump his bones.
He's got great hair, gotta say. Jesus, this guy's got good hair.
2 seconds ago, you were laughing at the mullet.
But see, the hair, I mean, this is exceptional. But geez, it's not just a mullet, I mean, this is like a neck cape. This is like a superhero costume. He's even got it tied up. But seriously, this music video is literally just him and a whole bunch of women in stonewashed jeans just twirling and bobbing their heads.
Pelvic thrusting.
Okay, there's an old guy in there. That's weird. Right, if you're having a bit of a low Friday, just go onto YouTube and just watch Achy Breaky Heart with Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, jeez, these people. This is the ugliest... the fashion. I mean, we think two-tone khaki in this country is terrible. You should see the stuff in this Achy Breaky Heart audience.
It's the era of the stonewashed jeans.
No, because there was a woman in two-tone denim, okay? Mm. The one denim was green. The other denim was mustard.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. That, she was turning around and looking for Billy Ray.
It's very catchy. You've got to get it.
Very catchy. I just realized I've actually ruined your Friday with that, because you'll be singing that now the whole day. It's like your crap Coldplay song yesterday, Sia.
Absolutely not. You started clicking your fingers to it.
Yeah, because I understand rhythm. It was in my head the whole day.
It's
anyway,
a good song.
Anyway, talking of songs.
I need shoulder pads now.
talking of songs and talking of hits.
Yes.
Mubs gave me a new hit.
Yes.
So, you know, we like to be on the cutting edge in the show.
All right. So, the EFF have released a song.
That's all you got in it.
That's all up your review now. Let's just give them a chance to get into it.
Just the full 12-inch DJ mix.
Yep, that's pretty much all it takes to make a song these days. You can just add a recorded voice of EFF leader Julius Malema shouting "Zoop Damas Fall," throw in a mix, and you've got a song. The EFF actually say on their website, "All entertainment centers are encouraged to raise the level of public awareness about the corruption that Zuma and Gupta have caused to our country by playing the song." So this is what we're doing, people. We're raising awareness right now.
So this is well done.
This is just, you know, this country is great.
Well, you got to think of this, actually. You know, like we've been talking about U.S. Politics quite a lot of late, okay? And
yes,
like the strategy behind it. And Gareth played a clip a while back about how Donald Trump talks in very simple syllables and words for his audience, right?
Yes.
This is kind of genius because you got people who are in the club or they're partying, whatever, and DJs will drop this song, no doubt about it.
Oh, they definitely will. And radio stations will play it too.
And then you're getting into the mindset of people to just say, "Gupta's must fall."
Zupta.
Zupta's.
Zupta. Yeah, Zupta must fall.
It's clever. It's clever and it's catchy. Let me look. It's no Billy Ray Cyrus.
No, I mean, no. And it's not going to win a SAMA award or anything like that, you know?
But it's appealing to a wide demographic. The Zupta must fall in English. And then if you don't understand that, there's Magawiswe in Zulu.
Yeah.
Which also means he must fall.
Sure.
To reiterate the point.
The EFF are covering all their bases in this one.
It's clever. And again, you know, as much as people say bad things about this country, where else in the world will you get a house track to basically comment on political happenings?
You know, I saw a tweet last night from a guy who seems to be living in Zimbabwe, and his tweet read along the lines of, "I envy South Africans. Imagine being able to criticize your government without being jailed, tortured, or being made to disappear."
So true. Yeah.
I mean, that is such a powerful statement, actually.
And again, just highlights the plight of how bad some countries do have it north of us.
Absolutely.
That's terrible, Heather, because that's exactly what happens. People who go against Mugabe,
they end up being imprisoned. They end up being tortured. Some of them disappear and are never to be seen again.
Could you imagine Musi Maimane trying that in Zimbabwe? If Bob gets up there and goes, "We don't need..." I mean, the Zim dollar was always on the decline. And you're going, "No, it's because of you." Like, he would be jailed.
Exactly.
He would have gone missing. Like Justice told us the other day about the guy who went missing.
Can you imagine a party similar to the EFF going or chanting "Mugabe must fall" and getting a song made out of it? That's never going to happen.
Yeah, I just get into the messages. Vaynant says it's a great song because you can dance Toy Toy and Marge? Marat? Sorry.
Marge, maybe?
Sorry, Ben, I've cocked it up. Hugo says, "Up yours, Ben, that damn song." Same with Michelle. She says, "I hate you, Ben." Now I've got a cuck song in my head. But Vaynant Pinar says he's using the toilet roll pack right now to raise his feet, and it's working like a charm.
Ah.
That was our original pooing discussion.
Okay, nice. Okay, all right.
Back to you, Mips.
Okay, let's go back to Fakey Mentor, who maybe before this week, Monday, you didn't really know anything about her. She is the former ANC MP, And she then decided to speak publicly about the ongoing drama around President Jacob Zuma and the wealthy Gupta family.
Mm-hmm.
She took to a radio station yesterday and had a lot more to say than the Facebook statement that she posted earlier this week that's really just, you know, made this news story the number one focus in South Africa. So in her interview yesterday, Fakie Mentor said, "I do not have the prerogative to tell the ANC NEC what to do, but can only appeal to South Africans to abhor wrongdoing and do something about it. Let us stand up and be counted. I had digested this thing a lot of times and been vocal against the Guptas on Facebook. I love the ANC, but I love South Africa more." And you know, since Fakie Mentor has made these revelations, you had Mcebisi Jonas then also follow suit. You know, people have been basically praising Fakie Mentor for her bravery and that kind of thing. Some people also saying, you know, they worry for her safety because apparently Mcebisi Jonas revealed that he'd received some threatening messages from who he didn't specify. But people basically, you know, trying to intimidate him and making him, you know, think, listen, if you go public with this, there's going to be problems for you. Now, Mentor continued to stand her ground following her statements on Facebook. In fact, yesterday I saw on Twitter, and I don't know if this is her Twitter account, but Fakie Mentor took to Twitter yesterday to say that her Facebook page had been shut down.
Yeah.
But she wasn't going to be silenced. And so there's now a Fakie Mentor Twitter account. I don't know if it's a parody account or if it's the real deal, but, you know, a lot of people have taken notice of this Twitter account and are interacting with it as if it's her. So, you know, it's all happening here.
That's a bit concerning, though, because if this is true, who on earth has the power to close down someone else's Facebook account?
Well, isn't that the million-dollar question?
I mean, is this a Gupta initiative?
I don't know, Ben. I don't know.
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's got enough money. You can't go say, "Hi, here's $10 million. Please shut down this account."
I wouldn't even know how one begins to shut down somebody else's. Well, I suppose, I mean, with Twitter, if you have a problem with the account, you can report the account.
Yeah.
What do you do on Facebook? Do you also report the Facebook account and say, "This is a problematic Facebook account," and then it gets shut down?
Yeah, you can. But I mean, at the same time, you can also say to Facebook, "Why is my account shut down?"
Mm.
And they would essentially need to give you an answer, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael, you got something to add on this?
I was just going to say, sometimes when enough people report it, that's when Facebook looks into it.
Hmm.
Okay, so maybe you've got some smart asses who basically said that her account is offensive.
Yeah.
Because they don't like her face.
Okay, well, let's carry on with the details that she unveiled. So Mentor said that she took a flight to Johannesburg from Cape Town. At the time, she was on crutches. And when she went to Johannesburg, she believed that she was meeting with the president. She was picked up from the airport and driven to the Gupta homestead, where the job offer was made. So this is her speaking. "I was told I could become minister within a week or so. I was told if I assist with influencing the South African Airways cancellation of the India route, I would become Minister of Public Enterprises. I said to the two brothers, 'I'm sorry, I cannot do that.' It took 15 minutes. She said that the president then emerged minutes later from another entrance. The president was not angry with her or anything that she had declined. He just said in isiZulu something like, 'It's okay, Ntombazana. Like, it's okay, young lady. Take care of yourself.' Mentor recounted how the president acted as usual like a father and a leader and immediately accepted that she had disagreed the proposal. He escorted her to a window-tinted vehicle outside. He even told her to look after herself because she was on crutches at the time."
So, again, like, obvious question. So, if this is coming out now, right, how many of these appointments happened like this and people just thought, well, that's part of the job?
Exactly. And then you have the president in parliament yesterday saying, if Mcebisi Jonas is saying that he was offered a job by the Guptas, don't ask me about it. Ask the Guptas. But if in this instance, as Fakie Mentor reports, the president was right there
exactly
when the job was being offered.
Exactly.
So then, Mr. President, how can we not question you as well? Hmm. We can't just leave it at questioning the Guptas.
But you know, this whole expanded cabinet that he's got, I mean, it was never this big. There's deputies, deputy assistant deputies, whatever it is. I mean, can you imagine how the process went? It's like, right, this is your job, and you're going to say yes to these kind of things and no to these kind of things. Sign here.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm in Parliament.
Yeah, hooray. Just like that. Yay! Easiest job to get in the world.
Exactly.
You don't even need to send your CV or go through an interview process.
No, you just need the right sort to execute sorted plan.
Yeah. Yeah, so more revelations to come, I suspect. And remember, Justice also mentioned that the ANC, NEC are meeting this weekend. So, you know, this is by no means a story that's coming to an end anytime soon, because everybody will be waiting to hear from the ANC after this weekend in terms of what's going to happen next and what they're planning on doing with the situation. Okay, off to Cape Town, where a hand glider managed to get herself in a bit of a tricky situation yesterday. A female hand glider was suspended from a cliff on Table Mountain for several hours. An adult female hand glider was suspended from a cliff 150 meters to the left of Plattekloof Gorge from 11:30 in the morning.
I think that's a gorge.
George
is a guy.
Yes, of the Plattekloof Gorge since 11:30 in the morning. And apparently she was stuck there for about 4 hours. You know, as is the case, they had to round up an entire crew to come in and rescue this woman. And, you know, we keep going back to this conversation and asking the question, in these instances where people find themselves stuck in tricky situations, do we get irritated with them, or is it just a case of, oh, okay, shame. I mean, you got stuck. Now you need to be rescued. We can't exactly leave you hanging there until you drop to your death, right?
Yeah, I guess.
What were you doing there in the first place alone?
She was hand gliding.
Why did you think that was a great
idea?
Because
it's a favorite pastime of hers.
Why can't you just take up knitting?
It's a hobby that she enjoys. Knitting doesn't do nearly as much for her adrenaline as the hand gliding does.
Watching Desperate Housewives reruns.
That also doesn't do as much for her adrenaline as the hand gliding does.
Then your adrenaline must take you down from there as well.
The rescue took 4 hours. 4 hours to rescue this woman.
That's a lot of manpower, huh?
That is a lot of manpower. It's a lot of time. There's probably money involved there as well.
But it must be so embarrassing at the same time. Like, you know there's risks involved, right? But you don't think that. And then you think like, oh my gosh, this is like...
And then you get yourself stuck.
This is everyone's whole day because of me.
And you know, in the era of cell phones, it's very easy for somebody to just take their phone out and, you know, film the whole thing and be like, haha, look, a woman stuck. Because people are horrible like that.
Have you ever been in a situation where you had to help someone like that? Not even, well, that's a very extreme case, but also just if someone has, you know, like driven into a wall and you have to be one of the first to call. Because I always think, I'm sorry, I'd probably be the guy filming maybe, because I'm like,
I can't
be the superhero.
I can't say that I've been in a situation where I've had to help someone. But I mean, I've been helped with car troubles. You know, that's like standard stuff.
Yeah, we should ask you that, seeing as you're the most prolific in the car accidents. Yeah.
You know what? I hate to speak about things like this because I feel like I'm sort of jinxing it. But with all this rain, every time I get into the car, I think, what if something were to happen? Even if like my tire were to like pop and I need to stop on the side and actually change it. It's quite a bit of an ordeal in the middle of all of this rain. Not to make like a mountain out of a molehill, but ugh. I don't know. Don't want to think about it.
Well, see, I wish you all the best. But you wear black nowadays, and only black, so the raindrops aren't going to show. I mean, I'm wearing grey. That'd be an absolute disaster.
Ben, I have more depth to me than that superficialness. You're such a horrible person.
I'm just thinking what the hell I'd do with my heels and a dress and having to change a tire. That's just very...
But with the mist this morning, for example, imagine if you... now broke down on the side of the road. It's those sort of things.
Okay, let me question Young Sia and Flex here, because earlier this week we were talking about YouTube sensations and how the two of you should really stop slacking and you should get in on this YouTube thing and you should start making money off of YouTube. How is that going, you two?
Well, my guest this morning found fame technically on YouTube. So
okay,
enough of these men, Sia.
But
I'm
asking how you are doing on this project, Flex.
I'm actually doing quite well. My YouTube videos will start coming out probably end of next week to beginning of the week after.
Well done,
Michael. I don't want to give away too much, but I can guarantee you they're going to be brilliant.
Well, a big part of becoming a YouTube sensation is having your video going viral.
Mm-hmm.
And now an Australian researcher has claimed to have unraveled the mystery surrounding what it takes to create a viral video. Oh, somebody please just give me a new mouth. I can't.
A George to a Gorge.
No, I'm dying to know what it is.
Okay, so this guy's name is Brent Coker from the University of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
When analyzing some of the most viewed clips on the internet, he distinguished four common elements which he says are what makes a video go viral. Firstly, that the clip is easily shareable. And I mean, these days with Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, I mean, all the platforms make it so easily shareable. Nostalgic attraction. They cause an emotional roller coaster with the person viewing it. So the person watching your video has to go through some kind of emotional response. That's another thing that helps a video go viral. And then there must be some kind of thrill factor to your video. All these elements, according to this researcher, are present in all videos that eventually do go viral.
Now, I'm just trying to apply that to that Zoella trick that we watched earlier this week.
Yes.
There was no emotional roller coaster in there for me.
Well, you got irritated, Ben. That's some kind of emotion, isn't it? I mean, you were watching her and you just immediately switched into grumpy Ben mode.
It was like a press stop irritation, then, not like a I must see more.
So, based on his research, Coker dismissed random chance as an element, which is often used to explain why viral videos attract attention worldwide. He insisted instead that it was the viewer's instinctive reaction to compelling targeted content that whipped people into a frenzy and kickstarted the viral process. He says, my research found that this release of adrenaline and endorphins, which is, you know, in the emotional roller coaster part, when combined with certain memories, it makes a viewer far more likely to share a video and therefore make it go viral. Shifting people rapidly across certain emotions is a highly successful tactic, which also makes people highly likely to share content on their social media channels. So Flex and Sia, I want you to zero in on these four things. Make your clips easily shareable. They must evoke some kind of emotional response in the person watching. There has to be a thrill factor to your video and nostalgic attraction. And then you're good to go. And then you can start cashing in like that PewDiePie guy.
PewDiePie guy. There we go.
That one.
But then I'm also thinking, what did Psy and Gangnam Style have to do with all of this?
What do you mean?
He has a viral
that was
video
just a very
attraction.
Catchy song with a great dance.
That was just a catchy song with a bizarre looking man and all these hot women around him hopping around and doing weird dance moves.
That's the formula then.
It made you laugh, didn't it?
Mm.
Or it made you just go, what the F?
It made you do something
is the point.
Where is he in this world now? He came out with like two more songs and then just disappeared.
No, well, he was a one-hit wonder. You know, those.
Yeah, he was a one-hit wonder, but it was such a massive hit. He had to make a few more and they were ultimately quite crap.
Yo, what was that last one he did? Who's My Daddy?
I don't know anything other than Gangnam Style, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Who's My Daddy? No, sorry, we can't answer that for you.
What else we got, Maps?
Let's talk about Madonna for a second, because seemingly she has been in the news for all the wrong reasons, with people saying that she's displaying some very bizarre behavior. And now, in the latest in a string of bizarre antics, Madonna apparently humiliated a young woman at one of her concert shows by exposing this young woman's breast after inviting her on stage in front of thousands of fans.
No, she missed.
I saw that video.
Must stop her now.
Did you, Flex?
It was a tall brunette woman.
Yeah. Now, her behavior, this is now Madonna's behavior, has become increasingly erratic during her world tour, which has been overshadowed by a highly publicized custody battle with ex-husband Guy Ritchie over their 15-year-old son, Rocco. Concerts have been marred by Madonna mumbling lyrics. She starts shows late. She stumbles through her choreography. In one show, she begged, "Someone please F me," while swinging from, from a fan's hip flask.
It was
I think it's just
happen.
Dementia setting in, really. That's all it is. It happens to all people of a certain age.
She started one of her shows 2.5 hours late.
Mm-hmm. So last night, the singer shocked fans once again when she invited the female concert goer to join her on stage, as, you know, performers usually do. And then this poor woman gets on stage. Madonna says to her, "You're the kind of girl who needs to be slapped on the ass."
Oh.
And then she tears at her clothing, whatever, to expose her breasts. And then Madonna says, "Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Sexual harassment." I mean, either she's completely losing her mind, or, you know, it's just that normal stuff that celebrities do to get attention.
Because, nah,
you know,
this is
because, you know, it's part of their job.
Far from normal. This is problems. She's got internal problems that she doesn't know how to externalize.
Yeah, you see, a lot of people have been writing in the news that Madonna's mental state currently appears to be fragile. She is evidently devastated at her estrangement from her son. So what happened was, this Rocco kid, who's 15 years old, he spent some time with his father, Guy Ritchie, and his new wife, Jackie Ainsley, who's 34, in London. This happened at the start of the Christmas holidays. Seemingly, the teenager refuses to return to his mother in the United States.
Uh-oh.
This then led to a custody battle, which has been playing out in the media. And apparently, Madonna is taking strain from the fact that her son doesn't want to live with her anymore. A high court judge. Sorry?
Can you blame the poor little sod?
Oh, come on, guys.
She probably walks around the house naked.
Don't you think Madonna would probably be like a cool parent compared to most?
She's like a hip young parent.
No, she'd walk around the house naked and keep saying to him, "I've still got it, don't I, son?" I reckon she'd be scarring for help.
She's also got that daughter. What's her name?
Lord. Or Lourdes, however you pronounce it. L-O-U-R-D-E-S.
That one, yeah.
I reckon she tries to seduce the son's friends.
She does like them young.
The way I look at things, the son is 15. This is the age when you just gravitate and you're a teenager and you have your own thoughts or whatever. If you know the son was still 8 years old, maybe I'd see why she's putting up a fight. But it's not as if the son is saying, "I want to go and smoke weed in the Amazon." He's just saying, "I want to live with my father."
Yeah, and, you know, he is a teenager, so maybe he feels like he needs a change in his life.
Exactly.
That's hard for a mother. She's going to feel abandoned.
No, Madonna just needs to calm down and wear proper clothes.
Speaking of which, Color says, "Guys, what's going on with Flax's polygamous relationship with his mom and girlfriend?"
Polygamous is not the word.
Yeah, Michael, it's time for an update there. What is going on?
Yeah, because when did you move into your new place?
So I've moved into my new place, but remember, the deal was I sleep at home from Monday to Thursday, then Friday to Sunday I can sleep at my girlfriend and my place, basically. So what I'm trying to do...
Hang a second. Let's just get a couple of basics in here. So do you guys share the rent?
No.
So it's not your place, essentially. It's
no, but
place.
I mean, I got my stuff there. I got my PlayStation.
Okay, Michael, PlayStation isn't grounds for ownership.
I'll pay for internet there. I pay, like, small things. Electricity.
Okay.
Rent's just hectic. And, yeah, so basically what I'm going to be doing every, like, second week was instead of it Monday to Thursday at my mom, then I'll make it Monday to Wednesday. Then 2 weeks later, I'll do Monday to Tuesday. And then slowly wean off.
Can we interview Liz at some stage?
No.
Come on,
off
Michael.
Limits.
Michael, it'd be brilliant. We need to get her in here and actually just ask her for her side of the story. Because we all know what your mother's stance is here. But Liz has been a bit of a silent entity here.
No, my girlfriend's off limits. But my mother and my girlfriend get along very well.
Well, do they though?
It's like,
Michael,
they understand each other.
Because we need Liz to answer that question for us.
No, they definitely do, and that's very rare that you get your girlfriend or your wife really getting along with your mother.
See it? Okay. When you're done scouting the next couple of boys for your show next week, go have lunch with Liz.
Sia's had many lunches.
Well, we want this one recorded, and just say, "Right, Liz, this is it. What's going on?"
Liz,
we're only hearing one side of the story. Everyone deserves to hear the other side.
Liz and I are officially BFF status, so I don't want to do anything to ruin it right now. We even dress alike.
Sia, if there was ever someone to go do this interview, it's you then.
But Ben,
he's
saying he doesn't want to compromise the friendship. He actually cares about her.
He's thinking about himself again. Sia, you're part of the team here.
Ben, how about you take one for the team and you go there?
Because I've met Liz like all of twice. She barely knows who I am. Anyway. Again, see, it's not a team player, huh?
So that means that this weekend you're at your girlfriend's place, and then come Monday you go back to mom's.
Mm, but all is I do at my girlfriend's place, we clean.
I thought you were going to say something
you
else.
You cook for like two, you cook, use two pots and you clean six pots.
What do you mean?
That's all I do is clean. Okay, so we'll make dinner. We'll probably use a frying pan, make some Brussels sprouts in a pot, and a baking tray to make some chips. But then I'm cleaning the stove afterwards. I'm cleaning the floor. I'm cleaning the spatter off the walls. Then I'm cleaning the sink. Then I'm
taking down
the trash.
No. This is what happens when you go from having had a domestic helper your entire life to suddenly having nobody helping you, and now you're actually having to clean stuff yourself. That's all this is, Flex. It's called adulting.
I wasn't ready for this adulting.
Really?
I didn't ask for it.
Yeah, but you just find ways to do things better, Michael. It's fine.
Other day, I mean, two nights ago, I started panicking because my electricity thing started beeping. I had 15 kilowatts left.
Yeah, but that thing starts beeping well in advance to give you enough time to purchase, you know, electricity, and to like don't stress about it starting beeping at 15 kilowatts. You still have time to do something about it. That's what the beeping is for. It's to say, hey, by the way, we're about to get to that point where the electricity is going to run out soon.
Message to my fellow millennials thinking you want to move out, start a bachelor pad with your friends.
Do it.
Don't. It is not fun. It is hard work. You just don't need it.
Michael, what good has come from easy things?
No, but this is, moving out is completely different to living at home. Living at home, I'd wake up, I'd go to sleep, I'd eat. Here, I've got to actually make fire, I've got to build house.
It's called being an adult and taking the next step. Do you think any of those rappers that you idolize would have gotten anything if they did something they didn't want to do?
Very true.
Adversity is what makes us humans. Like, it's as simple as that. I mean, that's not even a theory. That's just life.
I just didn't expect it to be as hard as it is and as much work as it is.
Yeah, look, nobody is prepared for how difficult being a grown-up is, but we all go through it.
But exactly, Michael, you've had that first hit and you're still here. You're still the same person.
I mean, I'm pretty sure at home, my mom and I and my brother, we take the trash out maybe once a week because we got a big trash bag. At my new place, I'm taking it out twice a day.
Yeah, but that's good because you don't want stuff festering in your house every day.
But you got to walk down two flights of stairs, and you got to walk up two flights of stairs.
It's called exercise. Again, these are all good things to have in your life.
There's just a lot that goes into a house.
Okay.
All right.
Back to the news, Mums. To which I must say, Vaynant has just said that you must flash your boobs. Vaynant, I'm sure there's a reference in there for something, but either way, calm down.
Who must flash their boobs?
You must.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just a message come on the screen. My buddy just flashed your boobs.
Vaynant, I don't have much to work with, unfortunately for you. I'm part of the flat-chested brigade.
Vaynant, you just carry on getting ready for work. My buddy flashing her boobs.
Okay. Let's talk about reality television for a second. If you love it, this might interest you. If you don't love it, well, I guess you won't care either way. But when it comes to the Jacksons, all that the fans really care about is the King of Pop, right? Michael Jackson. We care about his music, his mysterious life, that he was a bit weird. Some of us also care about Janet's music. And then maybe to a lesser extent, the Jackson 5, you know, who were great, great superstars in the 70s. That's about it when it comes to the Jacksons. But now, evidently, there is going to be a reality TV show about the Jacksons. We will see Tito Jackson, he was brother to Michael, with his sons, Terrell, Taj, and TJ. Now, these three tried to become R&B sensations back in the 90s when they formed a group called 3T. And I think Michael Jackson at the time had a hand in the group, like either he produced a song for them or like he did something for them. But they were basically a one-hit wonder. And I don't know who will be watching this show, but there is going to be a reality TV show around the Jacksons, and it's going to include all the unimportant Jacksons.
Isn't it just a bit sad that we didn't care about them back in the prime when Michael's spotlight was on them? Now Michael's spotlight is so far gone.
Yeah.
And we still don't care about them, but yet they think that this TV show must go.
Because this is what I don't get. This family does not give up. Right, so there was just straight after Michael Jackson died in 2009, the brothers released this Jackson's Moving On, Find Out How They're Coping. And that failed epically. LaToya Jackson went on to have her own reality show on the Oprah Winfrey Network, failed horribly.
Didn't she also do a season of The Apprentice?
It is just bad. Well, at least there she was better. And then is this the one that's called Jackson, The Next Generation?
Yes, this is it.
There we go. So these are all the younger Jacksons. So, so
these are all the Jacksons that we don't even know exist because we never really cared about the next generation of Jacksons
they just
after Michael Jackson and his siblings. But yes, the Jacksons, The Next Generation, that's going to be on your screens pretty soon.
Could you think of any more pointless TV show that could go out right now?
Mariah Carey's having a reality show. That's pointless.
Mariah Carey does not need a reality TV
that's
show.
The thing.
She doesn't need one. No, man. I've always thought that reality TV shows are for B grade Hollywood stars, right? Because you know you get A, B, C. They rank them.
Yeah.
So like, if you're A status, you never need to put yourself through a show like Dancing with the Stars or have a reality television show.
Exactly.
You know, you're not a Kardashian. Those are B grade celebrities.
You're not looking for exposure. Exposure looks for you.
Yeah. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie will never do stuff like reality TV shows or
exactly
dancing whatever stars.
Mariah doesn't even need to release another album again. That's how rich she is. So the fact that she's doing this is stupid.
No, and she's a veteran at the stage as well. Like, she doesn't need to.
But you know what would be kind of funny with that Jackson that Jackson show, right?
Yeah.
The whole way through, there's a figure on the screen. It's Michael's money that they're still living off. And basically, the show goes for as long as that money lasts. So every episode, you see the money ticking down. Because it's not like they're making anything. And then eventually you get to the stage where you go, oh my gosh, there's $200 left. This is going to be a funny episode. Because then they get cut off. It'd be like Michael's electric meter.
Basically like two broke girls with the amount at the end of every episode. Here like what go. They're on now.
Three broke Jacksons. There's a show we want to see.
Well, Michael's kids be in it.
Yes, this one they are in it.
What, blanket?
So Paris
blanket,
and...
Drapes and...
Prince,
pullover.
Paris and blanket, yeah.
That is the only reason I watch it.
No, but I feel like even that is not exciting anymore.
If you showed me a picture of blanket and rug and whatever, if you showed me pictures of them right now, I would not know who I was looking at. And that is the honest truth.
But as well, it's like this, again, going back to the whole thing we tried to talk about earlier, the right and wrong. Do they have to go down the celebrity path? It's just going to be terrible for them. They're going to get into drugs. One of them's going to be showing their penis to someone for $5. It's going to go badly, right? Could they not just get an education? I don't know, become plumbers? Could they not just have a different life?
I don't know, because when you have grown up in Hollywood around these kinds of stars, where Michael Jackson was, you know, I mean, you were sleeping in the same house as Michael Jackson and he was your father. Can you really have a normal life? Can you really become a plumber or go to university or...
I really don't think you can, hey?
It's like, what is normality? Because these Jacksons now, these ones, they've been waiting for this their whole life. This is like the pinnacle. Getting this TV show right now is their biggest thing ever.
I can already predict the very first episode will be them crying over how much they miss Uncle Michael. Can put money on it.
Okay, well, you know what? I think I'm going to leave it here for now because we've got a super bumper edition of an interview lined up for you where Gareth... sat down with South African writer, journalist, and political commentator Alistair Sparks. We're going to bring you that in the next few minutes or
Well, I think we should because it's a nice long interview, and then we'll catch you back after that with the rest of what's happening for the rest of the weekend. And I've got a funny video to play for you as well.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 453.
Cliffcentral.com.
Alistair Sparks.